Some say, try Jesus out, see what he will do for you. Others say, just raise your hand, accept him, and you will find purpose for your life. Some say, just believe in Jesus, but that belief that they share is a belief without an understanding of sin and repentance. It's not one that includes that.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina, and our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, Christmas Day, we celebrated the birth of Christ, and for some it was just another gift-giving, food-eating, family-gathering time, and they missed the Savior.
And Dave, unfortunately, that's so true. And yet God is a gracious God. And for those who missed the Savior, today we're going to hear a message in which God offers to us salvation. So would you turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55?
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archive broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, today in many different churches, you may hear many different offers of salvation. And I have no doubt in many churches that the offer of salvation comes over and over again. Now, unfortunately, as I was taught in seminary and many churches, they have adopted man's ways to bring about what they believe is God's offer of salvation. Let me give you an example. Some say, try Jesus out, see what he will do for you. Others say, just raise your hand, accept him, and you will find purpose for your life. Some say, just believe in Jesus, but that belief that they share is a belief without an understanding of sin and repentance. It's not one that includes that. Now, within that, there are many offers of salvation, and some of them are genuine, but yet some of them are not of God. Now, today, we're going to see from the Word of God what God offers us. Would you turn your Bibles to Isaiah 55? And in the book of Isaiah here, I believe we're going to see, for those who have not trusted in Christ, an offer of salvation, a free gift for those who will recognize their sin and thirst for salvation. And then for those of us who have trusted in Christ, who have believed in his Son for the forgiveness of sins, we will understand more clearly what God offers, that we can share that as God leads. Now let me share the context of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is about the restoration of the created order. And this restoration comes in the form of judgment and redemption, which will be culminated by the restoration of the kingdom. In the first 39 chapters, by and large, we have the Lord's character revealed, his character of holiness, righteousness, and justice, and future judgment revealed. Then in chapters 40 through 66, we have redemption promised, provided, and then realized. So the subject of the book of Isaiah is restoration of the created order. And again, it comes through judgment or salvation based on the response of those who listen. Now, as we saw last week in Isaiah 53, Israel's and our ultimate redemption would come through the person of Jesus Christ, the suffering servant who would be rejected, who would be pierced for our transgressions, because although all of us like sheep have gone astray, the Lord would cause the iniquity of us all to fall upon him. And then in chapter 54, we see the beginning of the results declared for the nation of Israel in regards to their redemption, which would be through Christ. More specifically, that because of Christ, the Lord, in the context of his great compassion, will establish ultimately Israel in righteousness and safety, and no weapon formed against her will prosper. And it's from this reality we come to chapter 55, a section in which we have a tremendous present tense offer of salvation. And although this directly applies to Israel, when Isaiah was writing, we will see it's based on the rest of the Word of God. The offer applies to all mankind, and that means us. So today, I believe we're going to see, in light of the many offers of salvation that man lays forth, we will see what the Lord offers to each and every one of us. Turn with me to Isaiah 55. Now, we're going to look at 13 verses here, but we're really going to focus on the first 7 verses for time's sake. And I believe we're going to see within this primarily God's invitation to receive the gift of salvation and a warning to respond rightly in the context of repentance before it is too late. So then let's take a look at God's invitation to receive his free gift of salvation. Verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. So we have, first of all, in verse 1, an open invitation to all who spiritually thirst. Notice he says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine, milk, without money, without cost. Now, given the context of this offer is the nation of Israel, but in reality, God's plan was always to move salvation from Israel to the whole world. And indeed, the gospel is for the Jew first and then the Greek. Romans chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 10, we find the wonderful reality also that with Gentiles and Jews, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so notice our passage begins with this word ho, and we just got done with Christmas, right? Well, it doesn't mean that, but it's an interjection here translated from the Hebrew, which often is translated woe or alas. And it's been translated that way many times up to this point. But here it is translated ho. It is designed to grab your attention. Listen up. Listen up. Stop and think about it. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. It's a pretty simple analogy. If you are thirsty, come to the waters. It's an analogy. Now, although this passage speaks of this coming to the water and drinking, we're going to see ultimately it is about the offer of salvation. Look down at verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon, or literally forgive. It's an offer of salvation that we need to listen up. Those who are thirsty for salvation, come. It is not to those who do not believe they are in need of salvation. It is for those who believe they need salvation. You see, there are those who think they're just fine. Maybe their religious works get them through, whatever it might be, or they think they're fine in the ultimate balance of things. Proverbs 30, verse 12, there is a kind of person who is pure in his own eyes, yet is not washed from his filthiness. You see, friends, the offer is not to those who do not believe that they have no need. It is to those who understand that they need salvation, those who are thirsty. Those who have, by God's divine intervention and conviction, realized their need of salvation from their sins. Turn to Luke chapter 18. And we have a very religious person praying, and we have someone who is praying also, which exemplifies the heart that is right before the Lord concerning sin. Two different people. Two different hearts. Luke chapter 18, verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself. God, I thank thee that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, even like this tax gatherer. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, but whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Turn back to Isaiah 55. You see, unfortunately, there are those that don't believe they need salvation. But there are also those who are thirsty but go to the wrong place. And here we're going to see the right place to go if you are thirsty. Verse 1, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine, milk without money and without cost. The offer is to those who are bankrupt. You who have no money, come buy and eat. The prerequisite to coming to faith in Jesus Christ is recognizing your inability to save yourself or to be saved by any other means than the person of Jesus Christ. You who have no money, come, buy, and eat. It's God through His Word that realizes we have a need for salvation. Earlier in Isaiah chapter 53, He said, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned his own way. We've all sinned. We're going to see later on that it's our thoughts and our deeds. We've all sinned. And God has made it clear throughout the book of Isaiah that judgment is coming, but then He has revealed the Savior, Jesus Christ. But let me share some of those judgment passages. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 27. Zion will be redeemed with justice and her repentant ones with righteousness. But transgressors and sinners will be crushed together, and those who forsake the Lord shall come to an end. God makes it clear. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, cruel with fury and burning anger, to make the land a desolation. He will exterminate its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not flash their light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will not shed its light. Thus I will punish the world for its evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. I will put an end to the arrogance of the proud and abase the haughtiness of the ruthless. I will make mortal man scarcer than pure gold, and mankind than the gold of Ophir. Isaiah 33, verse 10. Now arise, says the Lord. Now I will be exalted. Now I will be lifted up. You have conceived chaff. You will give birth to stubble. My breath will consume you like fire, and the peoples will be burned to lime, like cut thorns that are burned in the fire. You who are far away, hear what I have done. And you who are near, acknowledge my might. Sinners in Zion are terrified. Trembling has seized the godless. Who among us can live with the consuming fire? Who among us can live with a continual burning? He's made it clear that there's judgment coming for sin, but He's also shared the offer through Jesus Christ that all have sinned, that we have all strayed and gone our own way. And we need to recognize we are in need of a Savior first before we can call out to the Savior. You who have no money, come buy and eat. We need to be bankrupt before the Lord concerning our ability to bring about our own salvation. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, spiritually poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1, and at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And He called the child to Himself and set him before them. And He said, truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's humility, recognizing a child just believes what they hear. But what God says is true, that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Luke chapter 18, 17, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter in it at all. The reality is God will judge sinners, but before one can be saved, we need to have a thirst for salvation and understanding that we are in need of a Savior. So then the offer here is to those who would listen up. Everyone, ho, everyone who thirsts, back in Isaiah 55, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Sounds like somewhat of an oxymoron, come and buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Now, there's many that make much about the wine, milk, and water and the symbolism there, but that's not the point. He's using an analogy, God is. buy it without money. You need it. You need to purchase it, but it doesn't cost anything if you go to God. It doesn't cost anything. The point is, you need it. It does cost, but it's no cost to you within the Lord's offer. You see, folks, you will never be saved if you believe you must do something. Salvation is not through any work of our own. It is not through a physical baptism. It is not through the sacraments. It is not through any work that anyone is saved. The work that has done by Jesus Christ alone is that in which we're saved. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's man's problem. The prerequisite to coming to Jesus is an understanding of your sin, and thus a thirst and a need for salvation. A conviction of sin. Secondly, you must understand that nothing within yourself or anyone else, apart from the living God, can fulfill the need of salvation. There's nothing you can do. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine, milk, without money, without cost. Now notice there's an exhortation now as we continue to evaluate your spiritual life, to evaluate where you are. Look at verse 2. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Again, with that analogy. Two parallel statements here to the thirsty. One looking for salvation from their sins. Now, this is to the one who's actually realizes they need salvation, but they're going to the wrong place. They're going to the wrong place. Why do you spend money when the offer is for free, right? Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? It's not salvation. It's not what you need. And your wages for that which does not satisfy. The term satisfy speaks of being filled or fulfilled. Why are you spending your wages for that which does not satisfy in the context of true salvation? Turn to Jeremiah chapter 2. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Jeremiah chapter 2. You see, the Jews were guilty of this. They went to a religiousness rather than the God who was revealed in the Word. Jesus would say to the Pharisees, you search the Scriptures because you think in them there's eternal life. They thought by obeying the Word they got eternal life. But he says, it's those very Scriptures that point to me, and yet you are unwilling to come. You see, Jesus Christ gives eternal life, and then he enables us to obey his Word. Jeremiah 2, verse 12. Be appalled, O heavens, at this, and shudder, be very desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. They've forsaken the Lord and gone to religious stuff. That doesn't work. It can't hold water. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. They've made for themselves religious substitutes. And the Lord says here, why do you spend money? Why do you do your religious things? Why do you do this? For that which is not bread, and your wages for that which does not satisfy. It's a bogus deal. Why do you seek and work for a counterfeit? Why do you do so? You see, it's only the Lord who saves, and it's by his grace that we are saved, not of our own works. Not of our own works. And so notice what the Lord says. He says in the middle of verse 2, listen carefully to me. If you're working for your salvation, listen carefully to the Lord. He says, and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Listen carefully. Listen carefully in the context of the Scriptures and partake of salvation. What did he say earlier in Isaiah chapter 53? But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Listen carefully to him. Listen carefully and partake of salvation through the suffering servant, Jesus Christ. It's a free offer. Middle of verse 2, listen carefully and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. The term abundance here, as we're going to see, is delight yourself in abundant pardon or forgiveness. You see, when you're saved, we can delight in the forgiveness that Christ has brought us. Tremendous, wonderful realities. When you realize how sinful you really are, what a delight it is to be forgiven. What a wonderful thing. So then he says, pay attention, listen carefully. Listen carefully. And look at verse 3. Incline your ear and what? Come to me. He doesn't say do stuff. He says incline your ear and come to me that you may live. It's life and death. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. The Lord is calling upon you to endear your heart to hear His truth concerning your sin and the Savior, Jesus Christ, to then come to Him and listen carefully that you may live, that you may live. Instead of working for your salvation, come to God, come to Christ. Listen to what He has to say that you may live. And what does He have to say? The reality is the wages of sin is death. You see, sin brings about death, and God wants you to know that because He doesn't want you to die in your sins. He loves you. He doesn't want that to happen, so He wants you to listen. He wants you to listen. Listen to what He says in Revelation chapter 20. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. You see, we need to hear about punishment for sin. We need to hear about that so that we recognize what we need to be saved from, so that we receive the free gift and we are delivered forever and forgiven. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and Him who sat upon it, and from whose presence heaven and earth fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And he said earlier in Revelation that those who overcome are in the book of life. And then in 1 John 5, who is it that overcomes? The one who believes in Jesus Christ. You see, you can gain the whole world and lose your own soul. But God is gracious. And He wants you to listen. Listen about where you are really at concerning your sin and thus salvation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if you come to Jesus, then you need to listen to what He has to say. Come and listen. Don't work for salvation. You've got heavy loads, burdens that you cannot bear. Jesus will lighten those loads. He will lift those religious burdens off your shoulders because His load is light.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, for that person who's struggling, what would you tell them?
Well, Dave, what I would say to anyone who's struggling, you need to go to Jesus. He offers you salvation. Turn to Him. Believe that He came and died for your sins and rose from the dead. Call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved and your burdens will be lifted. And also for any believer, don't forget what God has done for you through Jesus Christ. He loves you. You have forgiveness of sins. cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Well, we've just begun to listen to a wonderful message, and I'd encourage you to make plans to join us for the next 2 days in Isaiah 55 and invite your friends and family to listen that they might be saved.
As we close today's broadcast, here's a special message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Now, if this broadcast is something that you have been blessed by, as the year comes to a close, I would encourage you to pray about making a year-end gift to help this broadcast continue. You see, we can't continue apart from God's provision through listeners like you. So would you pray about giving a year-end gift to the ministry of Equipping the Saints? We would so appreciate the Lord's help through you.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to contact Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 1-800-596-9144, or at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, I hope you'll make plans to join us again next time for another edition of Equipping the Saints.